I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Philadelphia sports fans get a bad rap, from throwing snowballs at Santa Claus to booing and swearing at small children. But Philly sports guy is trying to turn that around with his family-friendly passion toward Philadelphia sports teams and supporting charities like the Eagles Autism Foundation and Mascots for a Cure. His real name, beyond Philly sports guy, is Jamie Paye. Jamie, welcome on in.
Thank you for having me.
So this is what you look like. No makeup, no color. This is you. Does this feel like actual you, or does the other guy feel like you?
They're both the same. I am not different with the makeup on. In some cases, I feel like the makeup makes me more tolerable to
really?
Be a fan.
Really? So when you have the makeup off, you're more intense.
I'm the same. So it's like when I'm watching games on television, I watch the same way. I only know how to be a fan in one direction. Like, I haven't been able to, I want to calm down over here. It doesn't quite work that way.
Where does that come from?
I have always been a fan. My mother, my grandmother, my aunts all worked at the Spectrum and Vet. So I grew up in a sports household. And just always watching television. At 2 years old, my mother, she would work at the Spectrum, and for every Flyers game, she'd be working. So, you know, I'd hope to see my mom, you know, and ultimately I would never see her because she worked in a restaurant at the Spectrum and I didn't know any better. But I started to learn how to become a fan just because, well, you score and you get excited. And I would go from like zero to just going crazy. And like, I grew up with the Flyers. You know, the Flyers would come over to my house and play pinochle with my mother and my grandmother.
The actual players.
Yeah, and bring their kids over, and I'd play with the kids down in the basement.
Wow.
And, you know, and they'd be playing pinochle upstairs. It wasn't a big deal to me. Players were always around, and I was always around them. So it wasn't like you get starstruck. Plus, sports back then was a lot different than it is now.
Yeah.
There wasn't as much money involved. The access was a lot more. Now
it wasn't like, as weird to be like talking to a player.
It was always that way.
Yeah.
So I never really got like starry eyed about a player or anything like that. It was just, okay, this is like just normal access for everybody.
All right. So let's fast forward to Philly sports guy. How did this start? When did this start? What possessed you to sort of put on the mask, you know, rhetorically speaking?
So I've been painting up for the Eagles for somewhere around 20-some years. And
just going to games as a fan, wearing face paint.
Correct. And it would normally be for away games. My brother and I, starting in about 2001, he was going to college, and we wanted to do one away trip. So we would go to one away game a year, and I started painting my face. And
why? Why'd you start painting your face?
Just, I wanted to be a fan. You know what I mean? I thought that that was kind of, you know, like I was that kind of guy yelling and screaming anyways. So painting my face was just like,
And you weren't self-conscious about it or worried that someone would pick a fight with you because of the face paint?
You know, I never really looked at it like that. It was just like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I don't care what anybody else thinks. This is what I'm going to do. Ultimately, there was one time where I got recognized and got a lot of airtime, and it was the playoff game, the Eagles against the Saints, where they showed me a tremendous amount
camera
of
camera caught you, and at that point, you were doing the mohawk, the face.
Yeah, it was. I was just a fan,
yeah.
And I was looking to do just be a fan. I never really put much more stock into it, and I was a chimney sweep and a stonemason, and I was doing some masonry work at a production studio, and they found out that I was there, and one of the people in the production studio was like, hey, I'd like for you to come in your costume with, you know, to do a commercial for Mascots for a Cure, which unfortunately is no longer in operation, but at the time it was, and they said, we want you to just do a commercial for us. And the guy who was doing the filming is like, wow, your energy is amazing. You're like the Philly sports guy. You should see if that name's available. Check on social media. I think that this could be a thing. And I'm like, all right, so now what? And he's like, well, we'll have to teach you how to do social media. Truth of the matter is, I learned on my own,
yeah.
You know, like
throwing trial
to the
and
walls.
Error in there.
But what he did was, he's like, okay, you have to now go to the draft. And it was in Nashville, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to the draft. The draft doesn't mean much to me. I don't know these college players and or what's going on. I show up there, and I bring a camera. I'm going to start doing interviews with people. Paint it up. I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to make some stuff happen. And all of a sudden, like, I owned the place. I had to work my way to get in to see how do you get up on stage? And they let me into an area. I'm all painted up, so it looks like I'm supposed to be there, but
you didn't actually have a credential. You're just sort of going as far as they let you go.
And I go to the Eagles guy, and he's like, oh, wow, you're my first super fan. What's your name? Give him my name, and he's like, yeah, you're not on my list. But wait over here, because I'm going to get you up on stage. You're going to do this.
So you go to this playoff game in 2019, then you go to the draft, and now it's starting to snowball. At what point did it like become your gig? Because this is what you do, right?
This is what I do. So my mother was a big push on this. At the time, I think she was in the hospital. She just was given only a few months left to live. And she's like, you know, if you want to do this, as long as you can make sure you could put food on the table for everybody and you can live, go ahead and do it. Yes, there's so many regrets about, oh, you work and you work and you work and you stay in jobs that you don't like and what have you. And I was like, well, I love going to sporting events. Everything, like all the happiest moments of my life, minus like the birth of my children and watching them walk and things of that nature, all dealt with sports, being at sporting events.
Yeah. So how does it work? Like, how do you make a living off of this, of going to games and painting up?
Now it's a matter of doing commercials and getting sponsorships and things of that nature. Like a lot of this is just meeting the right people, doing some stuff that's influential. Obviously, the internet pays me a little bit of money. Obviously, yeah. I make a little bit of money from social media and such. Not as much as I think I could. It's not like I actually pander to a camera. The camera guys know where I am because it's simple enough to find me.
Yeah.
I put myself in a position where it's easy to find me.
You get a good enough ticket, essentially. Yeah.
Correct. And I just start, you know, doing what I do best, which is cheering on my team.
And what's interesting is no cursing, right?
Correct.
Nothing confrontational.
One of the things that I have always felt, and I'm one of these sayings guys that I have sayings on my wall. I want to be able to do that. And the one saying that kind of sticks out in my head is that the high road is always free sailing. It's always open because nobody ever takes it. And I can banter back and forth and not have to curse.
Yeah.
And there's too many kids around. I mean, the kids are the strongest portion of my base.
Mm.
So when a kid is sitting there and they're looking at me, I can only do this by looking in the mirror.
Yeah.
Also, these are the three rules. The unspoken one is that I'm not drinking. I don't curse. I don't sit down. I don't shut up. You have me all game long. And it's part of what you're the experience.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to deal with me and you're not going to get me kicked out. Because I'm not going to engage with you like that.
You're not
going to
take the bait.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I've been cursed at and all these things. And people, you're going to let that happen? The moment that they're cursing at me, I've won.
Yeah.
Because now they're not paying attention to the game anymore. They're paying attention to me. And I'm paying attention to the game. And I really, you know, like I said, it's odd when you think that a fan can have anything to do with an outcome. And it's rare that it happens, but sometimes it does. Like if I'm at a hockey game and I'm getting under a goalie's skin and I know it and I can feel it, I will, you know, I will keep pushing and pushing. And it's never, these are human beings, so I'm never berating them, but I will get under their skin and, you know, and make a difference in that one game.
It takes a lot of discipline to go to a place, know you're going to draw a lot of attention, and this could be a hostile place, by the way, and not take the bait, not respond to people. Like you must have something inside that gives you a good amount of self-control.
I think I look at it the same way as I looked at it when I initially started painting up. I don't care what other people think, and I don't care what other people say. If you want to banter with me,
yeah. We
can banter back and forth all day long. The moment that you start to make it personal, I disengage. One, because it has nothing to do with us. These teams are not our parents. We do not. I say this all the time. I said, I don't have to defend their honor. I know that they don't care whether I'm there or not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paying to be there and I'm paying to support
them. A lot of
them.
Perspective to have. Of course, you've been to a lot of games, so it probably helps you gain some of that perspective.
A lot. I have an exact tally for last year.
What was it last year?
I went to 136 games.
What's the best sporting event you've ever been to?
That's a tough one. I've been to both the most recent Super Bowls, so I've been to one where we've lost and one that we've won. Winning is so much better.
No kidding. All right, what's the worst game you ever attended?
I was in Tampa Bay for a Flyers game, and we got smoked 7-0. When you're painted up,
now you're
stuck getting it, and I took it in stride. It's... What do you do? I would just be like, hey, I didn't hear
I'm
no
here.
Bell. I didn't hear no bell. We ain't done yet. Now you actually just double down on the cheering because at that point it's fun.
How much longer do you want to do this?
As long as I can.
Yeah.
I think about this sometimes, that what is the evolution of the Philly sports guy? And I made a joke not too long ago. I was like, well, you know, I have a really strong base in Philly and I have a great base in Pittsburgh that love to hate me. But they love me. They follow. And I have some small ties up in Erie, Pennsylvania. That puts me in a great spot to possibly run for governor.
There you go.
I'm a good enough public speaker where I could probably do that. Would I still want to paint my face even after I became governor? I think, yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Why not?
If I'm 75 years old and still able to do the things I'm able to do now, why wouldn't I want to continue to do this? Philadelphia is such a great place to be able to do this. There's not many places this could even happen in the world, and I happen to live in one of the best places in the world to do so.
The Philly Sports Guy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that was the man behind the makeup, Jamie Paille, better known as the Philly Sports Guy. And that's it for this Studio 2 Extra. Our program is produced by Paige Marie Bessler, Debbie Builder, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered this podcast episode. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Avi Wolf-Manarant, and thank you so much for joining me.